Jom beli lokal, Expo Bludom Bazaar telah berlangsung di Sapura Bludom Mines pada Julai yang lalu. Expo yang ditaja bersama oleh Wahid Invest, Universiti Putra Malaysia, Universiti Pertahanan Nasional Malaysia dan Sapura Resources ini menyaksikan pelbagai pilihan makanan dan bundle sales, perkhidmatan kewangan dan pelbagai lagi di sini. Jangan lepaskan peluang untuk teruskan bersama memeriahkan lagi bazar-bazar yang akan datang. Untuk maklumat lanjut, layari @bludomminds di semua laman sosial media hari ini. Ingat, layari @bludomminds di semua laman sosial media hari ini.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mak Pis.
Aku Yem.
Okey, Yem, kita ada beberapa perkara nak bincangkan untuk sesi podcast Amans kali ini. Kita mulakan segmen pertama, apa berita terbesar minggu ini. Okey, berita terbesar minggu ni kita lihat kita punya jiran lah, and I think it's quite interesting because apa yang aku nampak sebagai Beijing tendencies lah, I'll call it Beijing tendencies, and aku akan explain why I think so. Basically Indonesia akan menghalang akses kepada perkhidmatan internet yang tidak berdaftar menjelang 21 Julai 2022, dan ini tak ada exclusion eh. Any companies or internet services that fail, yang gagal untuk mendaftar, akan dihentikan akses kepada pengguna-pengguna di Indonesia. Dan kita tahu beberapa tahun lalu kerajaan Indonesia sendiri diorang punya MCMC lah, ada Kementerian Komunikasi dan Informatika, what they call as Kominfo, telah memperkenalkan satu platform pendaftaran syarikat pengendali perkhidmatan digital. Of course they have a specific name, PSE, Penyelenggara Sistem Elektronik Lingkup Privat, yang mewajibkan semua syarikat. Dan latest dia menteri Johnny G Plate telah mengatakan bahawa syarikat-syarikat perkhidmatan atas talian dan digital mempunyai a tight window untuk mendaftar perkhidmatan mereka. Dan if we were to tengok pula kepada report daripada CNN Indonesia, most of the companies have already daftar, dan ini termasuk Spotify, Gojek, Tokopedia, Traveloka, TikTok, Dailymotion, basically big names. Tapi ada juga yang masih lagi belum berdaftar, and this includes Meta, Google, Twitter, Netflix, and I think it's very interesting, and why I say Beijing tendencies, but aku rasa it's a very Beijing like behavior lah to actually make sure all the access all the companies that offer internet services untuk berdaftar. I'm not sure for what reason, but I think it's all about, you know, keeping everything under control, and this is how they're going to do it lah, Indonesia at least. Kalau kita tengok what's happening, what's ongoing with Beijing, they just clamp down everything, right? Everything goes through them. Semua benda they have to have an eye, they have to have a peek at it before it goes through the users, kan? Adalah I have to admit there are pros in having an access to it, but I think this system will bring macam more noise than good lah. Sebab I'm trying to imagine if kat Malaysia pula dengan nak daftar dia semua Netflix apa-apa, and then suddenly at a certain date you just like got cut off. How? You are paying Netflix all this while to get access, and all this while you've been getting access tiba-tiba because Netflix tak daftar on in your country, and then suddenly your services is taken out. So I think it's a lot of headache. Tapi aku dah tengok lah apa jadi kat Indonesia ni, because I think companies would eventually bend to the will of government, but this creates a precedent lah where, you know, heavy regulation is the name of the game. Semua benda nak kena daftar. Everything have to daftar. But I'm not seeing anything of that sort from Malaysia yet lah. But this is the Indonesian things lah. But that'll be interesting to see lah. It'll be interesting to see, especially you know, at the end, once the date has come and passed, siapa yang left standing or left standing, or, you know. And then it will be interesting to see lah. And that is berita terbesar untuk kali ni. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita sambung ke segmen seterusnya. Teman Amans.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okay, kita kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pis dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen seterusnya, segmen Teman Amans. Biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan memberi respon kepada soalan-soalan yang dibangkitkan oleh pendengar di luar sana yang dihantarkan ke us@amans.my. Dan untuk sesi kali ni, kita mendapat soalan daripada William yang dihantarkan melalui email. William bertanyakan tentang laporan. William cite di sini laporan dari CNBC yang menyatakan bahawa ByteDance, kita tahu ByteDance ni basically the parent company of TikTok and Douyin, ingin menghasilkan chip rekaan sendiri. Dan apakah implikasi kepada the whole tech world? Terima kasih William. It's interesting to see. It's like everyone is like getting on the bandwagon kan, Yim? Semua nak buat their own chip. And then recently, I think even a few episodes ago, we spoke about other companies yang semangat nak keluarkan chip mereka sendiri. And this includes, of course, our most recent was Oppo. Then of course, I think aku tak tahu lah dia orang ni nak follow Apple ke ataupun they feel like the current chip that is available in the market does not fit dia punya requirement, and that's why baik aku invest, aku buat aku punya own chip lah, senang aku boleh buat, aku tahu apa yang aku punya feature that I want to control. And it's quite surprising because ByteDance sebenarnya you thought it's just TikTok dan sebagainya, but they also created benda-benda seperti kamera untuk home-based learning. And also, apparently, there is a special device khas for streaming created by ByteDance. So, you know, this is what's happening. Tapi aku rasa there are a couple of reasons why ByteDance choose to untuk membina chip mereka. I think they're looking at they look around and then nampak companies like Huawei where they are, you know, kena sanction after sanction, and I think okay, let's start standing on our own two feet, and this is you know, the way to go. Tapi what is the future of this self-made chip? Say, what do you think? Is this going to be something yang common by all these companies that provide internet services? I think this is the beginning of yeah, itself macam being independent lah to create your own devices. Terima kasih William for that question. We going to take a short break. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen ramalan atau nuzul.
Suka membandel? Kali ini kami bawakan vendor lokal bandel untuk anda. Tidak terlepas juga kepada pencinta durian. Boleh makan durian free selepas shopping. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom datang ke Blue Dome Bazaar dekat The Mind Seri Kembangan 15 Julai ini. Boleh ajak keluarga dan kawan-kawan sekali. Layari IG Blue Dome Minds untuk mengetahui maklumat dengan lebih lanjut. IG Blue Dome Minds.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pizza juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen seterusnya, segmen ramalan atau Zoom. Seperti biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan sembang tentang ramalan yang either one of us yang buat, dan untuk kali ni kita stray away from tech for a bit menujum hal-hal berkaitan politik. I'm not sure if you are pendengar-pendengar di luar sana follow the recent PKR Congress which has just ended, where newsflash, if you don't know, Rafizi Ramli is back as Deputy President. He won the deputy president comfortably. So benda yang ramalan untuk kali ni is aku nak tanya kat Yim juga, but I have my own thinking. The pairing of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim dan Rafizi Ramli ni, does it mean all is well in PKR and Pakatan Harapan, or is the beginning of the end for the party. What do you think, Yim?
I don't know. I think aku tengok juga Kongres. It's very much Yeah, no, unfortunately. It dia macam seolah-olah negara ni masih lagi di ambang reformasi. Macam seolah-olah you know, Anwar masih lagi
1999 lagi.
Do you know that in today's generation, not many people understand why keadilan is around? I asked a lot of young friends.
I'm not surprised.
They have absolutely no idea. They somehow know of something yang Anwar dulu gaduh dengan Mahdi apa, but they don't know, oh, this is the reason why. So, in a lot of ways, keadilan has lost touch to tapping the youth. Now, let's take a look into some political parties, how they have tapped the youth. DAP has used non-Chinese youth people to tap into the youth. And to some degree, it is working. Young people sign up for DAP has risen 10% based on the number of DAP publications themselves. Then you have Muda, run by Syed Saddiq. And to his credit, he is trying to find pelapis-pelapis yang boleh gantikan dia dalam parti Muda so that he can go on to become, you know, a little bit more credible in terms of fighting the senior statesman. So, okay, credit to him, but he's not finding anybody new that can actually replace him. There is this Adun yang menang dekat Johor, what's her name? She is okay.
Amira Aisha,
she's okay. But to move ahead when it comes to party development, you can't rely on one other human being. You got to rely on a bunch of people. Yeah. And then if you look at UMNO, the way they are tapping the youth is very, very interesting. Very interesting. They know their demography. They know
systematic.
They have a system. And they rely on not so much Pemuda UMNO, but Putri to drive their registration campaign. And, you know, Putri is a little bit more systematic than Pemuda, and they are getting the sign-ups that they need, particularly in states where they know they can win, such as Kedah, Perlis, East Coast states. Yeah, they want to wrestle it away.
The Malay heartland.
Yeah, particularly the East Coast states where they want to wrestle it away from PAS. Yeah, terutamanya dekat Kelantan, because there seems to be some headway of PAS in Kelantan. But, believe it or not, youth sign up in UMNO is actually quite high also in Selangor. Now, why in Selangor? I'm not saying Petaling Jaya ke Gombak ke, no. I am saying Sungai Besar, Kuala Selangor, Hulu Selangor, Dengkil. I know that area, these are the areas where they are focusing on Sepang. And not that far though from KL city center, 30 40 50 kilometers je. Okay? So UMNO is doing a lot of work there. Bersatu is failing. No sign-ups. Tak payah kata orang muda. Orang tua pun tak nak sign-up. It's Bersatu. What to do? PAS, no sign-up. The young are not thinking about religion as much as the old, unfortunately. And they go with the agama rhetoric. It becomes a really old-fashioned. Okay, now this is baru Semenanjung parties tau. In the Sabah Sarawak parties, lagi the drive... The drive is actually quite extensive, but it's the incumbents, the PBS, PBRS, dekat Sabah, more of SUPP and all that. They are getting more traction there, Star apa semua. And of course, Bersatu in Sabah is quite interesting as well to look at. But there are defections and all that, so mixed bag of results.
Yeah.
Falling back to that whole question of yours, whether or not there is relevancy anymore in PKR among the youth, zero. Negative relevancy. Negative. Yang ada dalam PKR, rata-rata semua orang at least 30 years old and above. At least. Okay? So there's not much left when it comes to trying to find youths there. But more importantly, those yang pergi Kongres tu, they all bersorak macam aku cakap tadi lah. As if the reformasi belum jadi lagi. Belum done lagi. So, apa maksud dia? Maksud dia adalah orang-orang sama yang sokong Anwar akan terus sokong Anwar, dan Anwar tidak akan mendapat mass market appeal
sokongan baru
dan new appeal. Mass market appeal tu satu hal. Mass market appeal ni
but
dah
even with Rafizi, you don't think tak boleh mobilize even with Rafizi?
No. Even with itu secondary. The story is Anwar cannot get the mass market appeal. The current mass market appeal is currently supporting UMNO and other incumbents. He's not getting that. The new market appeal, he's not getting that because that is being divided up by DAP and MUDA, which I believe during election nanti they are going to count him, and that means the new market is still going to this group in Malay Heartland is going to go to UMNO. So all the demographies are used up. Habis dah, there's no more people to vote for him other than the yang bersorak-sorak masa kongres itu hari. Now to answer your question, even with Rafizi's appeal,
yeah,
is Rafizi still supporting Anwar? I don't know.
Oh, officially on in the Congress nampak okay lah, but you know, of course behind closed doors we never know exactly what is uttered. Tapi I think the is interesting to see this pairing sebab aku rasa you can see Rafizi is all out trying to mobilize fans. He seems to be dead set. And he seems to think that he's able to galvanize this so-called silent majority. Aku rasa actually Rafizi dengan Anwar pairing ni will be good for PKR as for the party. But I'm not sure about PH as a whole. Aku rasa we're going to see an evolution in the relationship between PH, especially when you say with this whole influx of young people going to only a very small funnel that is DAP and MUDA, and we've totally forgotten about Amanah, which is saying something lah. So it will create a new political dynamic within Pakatan Harapan itself. It will be interesting to note lah. But basically you're saying that it's PKR is the same as it's ever going to be lah. There's nothing big shifting even with Rafizi at the helm lah. That's your ramalan, is it?
Yeah, that's my ramalan. That's exactly my ramalan. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, it's going to be problematic in that sense lah.
It'll be interesting to note, especially now we know general election sebenarnya dekat sangat, less than a year away. We're going to take a short break. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk.
Okay, cerita dia macam ni. Kamu seorang pengusaha kecil dan mikro. Kamu menjual barang macam-macam. Dan telah tiba masanya kamu membuat penampilan di media untuk menceritakan kisah kamu. Tapi isu dia sekarang, kamu takut. Tak tahu nak start kat mana. Nak cerita apa? Nak cakap dengan siapa? Ini semua normal problem. Di Pusat Media Amans, kami sediakan media training untuk pengusaha kecil macam korang. Wartawan-wartawan bertauliah dari Astro Awani, BFM Radio dan media masa lain sedia untuk memberikan latihan kepada kamu. Dengan hanya RM50 sahaja, kamu akan mendapat latihan media dari Real Life Reporters. Tanya kami di us@amans.my sekarang. Media training untuk semua di us@amans.my.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pis dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Seperti biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yim akan cuba membincangkan tentang apa yang baik dan buruk yang kita nampak untuk sesi kali ni. Aku mulakan dulu. Bagi aku baik, aku rasa maybe Yim akan bersetuju dengan aku. Berita bahawa booster dose untuk golongan 50 hingga 59, mereka yang sihat boleh mengambil COVID-19 booster dose, second dose, second booster in this particular case, you can see that the cases yo-yoing kan, between 3,000 and 5,000 dan sebagainya, but there is an influx, there's a rising point of cases. Dia bukan seperti I think a few months ago which is about 1,000 cases, 1,000 over cases. So it's good that, you know, we are looking back at things, you know, public health measures that will help us combat COVID-19. For all those yang ada di luar sana yang merasakan COVID-19 is fine, no, we are not there yet. We're still not there yet. In fact, even we've spoken to a virologist which said that we are still far off COVID-19 being benda yang kita tak perlu risaukan. Sebab, you know, it's ever, you know, yes, we're talking about Omicron, but then the subvariant BA4 and BA5 shows it replicates faster in lungs, it's more transmissible. Of course, it's less severe, but you never know. From category 1 to category 2, you can easily fall into category 4 and 4, 5, 3, 4, 5. So, it's better to be safe rather than sorry. So, that is good untuk aku. Buruk pula untuk aku adalah, I don't know if you notice, Parlimen punya jawapan. I think Fahmi Fazil kot, Ahli Parlimen Lembah Pantai, tanya tentang how much is spent on keluarga Malaysia. Well, I'm not going to complain about the content of the campaign, but I'm going to complain about the amount. Believe it or not, 5 million, 5 juta ringgit is spent on the Keluarga Malaysia campaign. Of course, when the Keluarga Malaysia campaign was announced, we have yet to face inflation dan sebagainya. But I still think that the time for government to spend on this big campaigns ni is long over, because banyak lagi, I mean, negara memerlukan duit untuk perkara-perkara lain yang lebih banyak lagi, perkara-perkara lain yang berfaedah duit itu boleh digunakan. And now we are on the cusp, I believe, of recession. We're going to need even more money to deal with the, you know, all the challenges that come with a recession lah, of course. Itu sahaja, sekian sahaja untuk podcast Saman sebuah kali ini. Seperti biasa, jika ada apa-apa cadangan, maklum balas dan sebagainya, sila hantarkan ke us@amans.my. Aku dan Yim sentiasa mengalung-alungkannya. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi podcast Saman yang akan datang.
Jom Beli Lokal Expo Bluedom Bazaar telah berlangsung di Sapura Bluedom Mines pada Julai yang lalu. Expo yang ditaja bersama oleh Wahid Invest, Universiti Putra Malaysia, Universiti Pertahanan Nasional Malaysia dan Sapura Resources ini menyaksikan pelbagai pilihan makanan dan bundle sales, perkhidmatan kewangan dan pelbagai lagi di sini. Jangan lepaskan peluang untuk teruskan bersama memeriahkan lagi bazar-bazar yang akan datang. Untuk maklumat lanjut, layari @bluedomminds di semua laman sosial media hari ini. Ingat, layari @bluedomminds di semua laman sosial media hari ini.